God saves. All God saves. There is hope in your name. Morning turns the songs of praise. Our God saves. 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 Our God saves.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Amen. Let's just worship the Lord. Get free in the spirit of God and just worship the Lord. We don't have many times in our lives where we can just be free and worship God. Amen. So let's just go ahead and just do that right now.
All right. Let's do a little I Am Free. Hearts will praise. Through you the darkness flees. Through you my heart screams, I am free. Alright, hear to me. I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
What?
I am free.
Are we free?
Today.
I am free to live for you. Yes, I am free.
I am free.
Yeah, I am free to run.
I am free to run.
Yes, I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
Yes, I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free. I wanna reach out and touch the plain where the streets have no name. Oh, I want to feel the light on my face. I see the dust clouds disappear without a trace. I wanna take shelter. Poison rain. That's all I can do. Oh, I am free.
Yes,
I am free to run. Check it out.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
Streets have no name.
You guys look like you're dead out there, and you're in the dark.
They are.
Anybody
dark.
Out there? Anybody love Jesus out there? Anybody love Jesus out there? I guess not. Anybody love Jesus out there?
Woo! Woo!
I'm not afraid. Through you the price is paid. Through you this victory. Through you my soul sings.
What?
I am.
Shut up.
I am.
All right, before you have a seat, I want to make sure that the people around you have a pulse. Go ahead, high five them, tell them hey, and the rest of our children can go ahead and go to our Shoreline Ministry. Except for the college students, I want them to remain here. Right, all right, all right. All right, you awake?
Yes.
That's pretty lame. You awake?
Yes.
Okay, great, great. Same people in church here, like, where the streets had no name. If Bono was up here, you'd be like, oh, the streets had no name, wouldn't you? I know y'all. That's all good. All right, welcome and good morning. Welcome to Haven Community Church. We are here in August, and I know for our teachers, sorry. For our students, sorry, but we are going, by this time next week, you already have 2 days already in, correct? Not for the teachers, but for the students, couple days, so it'll work. But anyway, we're just glad that you're here. If you're visiting with us today, welcome. We say this all the time, that we just believe you're not here by mistake, but God's brought you here in an awesome, awesome way. We also want to welcome our online church, our church online, and we know that there's many who are traveling with us this week, and just others that we're just thrilled that you're joining us via online this week. So if you have any questions about Haven, if you're here, please go ahead. People are in the back, ushers and other people are here to just help make this comfortable for you and a place to connect to God. Hopefully you received a card when you came in. If you didn't, go ahead and fill that out because we want to know about you and we want to hear what you think. But also, ultimately, we just want to welcome you and have a small gift. Thank you for being here. You can look at some of the other kinds of things. We are in week 3 of our Sun Stand Still series. How many of you are enjoying Sun Stand Still? How many are participating and really enjoying it? It's a great series, and we're excited about that. Stephen Ministry Training, register today. Anything else we need to say about that, Donna? Great. And many of you for the last several weeks have seen the Stephen Ministry video that we've had here, and it's a great deal. Sunday school kickoff this Wednesday the 19th. The program, they're looking for current teachers and those interested in teaching, and you can see that they'll be meeting this Wednesday, August 19th already, huh? And at 7 p.m. The Parish Foundation today, how are we, Bonnie? We're great. Thank you guys for going ahead and doing that. Also, there is a clipboard that's going around, I believe, for supplies for rotating shelter. And also, we need some supplies for Parish Foundation. You can see those that information. Community Kitchen, we are going to be there Friday, September 11th. So if you are willing to help out in that is in Elkton. That's a great opportunity. And so we're just excited about you doing that. And you can also see some of these. You're also, Joanne has an insert about some of those drop-off items. And also there is a clipboard going around for that. All right? And so we're just glad that everybody is here today with us and that we're going to worship. We know that we have many of our people that are trying to get that last vacation in, right? How many trying to sneak that last vacation in before everything else? And so we ask for traveling mercies on everyone else here. So right now, what I want to do, I just want to go to our prayer time, our prayer concerns, and Joyce. So we have a prayer request from Robin Hildebrand for Don Smith, who had a lung transplant last Monday, and we want to pray for healing there. Damien is asking for prayer. Her mother is having surgery on Friday, and she's praying that all goes well with no complications and she heals quickly. And Mike Berdinka asked to remind everyone that there are more Havens business cards so that you can go ahead and take them out, give them to people so that they can go ahead and share the ministries that Haven is doing here. And we thank God for those many, many things. Real quick, are there any other prayer requests that people did not get down? I want to have? Yes.
A young man just passed away, 42 years old, unexpectedly, and he has a daughter and a wife.
So a man who passed away, 42 years old, very unexpectedly. Ree? Okay, so we want to pray for Nikki for healing, particularly blood work. Judy?
I'd like the church to remember my cousin in Virginia. His son was killed in a head-on collision the other morning going to work.
Okay, so Judy's cousin's son was killed in a head-on collision. Right here, yes.
Craig Smith. Craig Smith for cancer possibility in the colon.
Okay,
not well.
So for cancer, so we want to go ahead and lift him up in prayer. So he needs. Okay, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer during this time, all right? Almighty God, we come before you today, and there are so many needs, so many prayer concerns. And God, you know, things in our life at this time, they seem so insurmountable in many ways. It seems impossible that any situation can be dealt with. But God, we know who the one is that can deal with it and bring complete restoration, healing, and bring the right answer, and that's you, Lord. So during this time, we ask that we learn to lean and trust in you, that we don't just look at the facts of the situation, but we learn to lean on you and recognize that you are the God of the impossible. You make the impossible very possible. And so God, during this time, whether it's surgeries, whether it's loss and death, regardless of what it may be, God, we just ask that you move mightily in our hearts and our lives. In the people that we love, the people that we don't know, that we just heard a name, we know that you're working in a mighty way. I thank you for the Sun Stand Still series, God, as we've just begun to scratch the surface of some awesome things that you're doing. And for that, God, we give you praise in who you are, because you're a mighty God. There's nothing that is in front of us that you can't handle. And so, God, during the remainder of this time, we recognize that there are so many needs. So many struggles. And God, during this time, we recognize that you've called this church to be in existence in order to meet those needs, in order to extend your name, not only to our homes and our families, but our communities, our work, wherever we go into the larger world, God. So that those who are watching online or through an app may connect. They may be struggling and they find, man, I just really need to connect to Jesus. So God, that's the greatest miracle. As we continue our worship today by giving of your tithe and our offerings, that God, you may find them acceptable. They may please you as we give them with a grateful heart. But ultimately, God, may you take them and multiply them to further your kingdom, not ours, to help people that are sick be made well, to help those who are addicted become whole, to help those who are struggling get a stronghold in their lives, and they can say Jesus did it because it was impossible any other way. And so God, we ask for your Holy Spirit's blessing upon the tithe and the gift. Multiply them, God, well beyond what our expectations for this church are. Blow our minds with generosity. Blow our minds with the power of your Holy Spirit. For you are God, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. Last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. Be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you in the quiet. I hear your voice, the word of God speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. And word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
Have any college students here? Anybody? Anybody's getting ready for college? Come on up here. Anybody's going to college? Come on up. All right. Or anybody who's been to college before and you want to come on up? That's the orcs. Anybody who is glad you went to college before it cost as much as it did now? This is just a smattering of some of our college students. I know we have many others, but one of the things we want to do, and if you're visiting with us today too, go ahead and come up here. We can go ahead and do that. I just want to pray for our college students. Where are you headed, Ben?
Valley Forge, the University of Valley Forge.
University of Valley Forge. And Nikki?
Cecil College.
Towson, okay, so there we go. So we'll pray for those universities and colleges too as well, right? I'm just joking, guys. But no, we want to go ahead and pray for them just because we know that that is a major transition in life. And so we just want to pray for God's presence to be with them. And so I want you to join with me in that. Is that awesome? All right, let's go ahead and do that. Lord God, we just come before you now for the three that are here today, and that are taking this next transition in life. It's been the shortest summer of their lives. They got out late and they're going back early. Many of them, they're just going into a new phase of life for the first time. Some may be going back, but regardless of what it is, God, we know that that through this church and through your call in their lives, that you have been faithful to them and that they have seen you move in their lives. And so, God, we ask that not stop here. We ask that you just send send your Holy Spirit ahead of them, just protecting them, guiding them, directing them, having them discern the right choices, have them going ahead and surround themselves with the most awesome people that are going to lift you up. And God, ultimately, I just pray that that you will become even more real to them. That, you know, we're all excited when that part happens in life, but then when mom and dad leave, or whether we, that first day when we're in a class, when that the first time it's not like it used to be, where we know everybody for the last 12, 13 years, and it's a little bit different, that God, you'll just calm their nerves, give them peace, and just instill them with your Holy Spirit. And God, just we just ask for your anointing to be upon them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Awesome, guys. Thanks. Let's give them a hand, and I know you want to go stand. But, all right. Where are the teachers? Where are the teachers? Stand up where you are, teachers. I won't make you come up. Go ahead. And, or anybody who works for the school system, go ahead. All right. There we go. All right. Okay, so... Stay up. We're going to pray for you too. Because it's a long year, right? If you're involved in any form of education, all we want to go ahead and do that. Lord God, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to be upon the people that help nurture and help the young people learn. God, we know it's not easy in this world today. We know that many times they're teaching with their hands cuffed. And we also know that... just that deep breath of fresh air that they had when the school bell rang for the last time last year is now over, and now it's going to ring again. But they're like, 100 and how many more days? But God, we ask that this year, I just pray for this year for each of them, no matter what phase you have them in, that you go ahead and just have the best year of their lives, and that through who they are and who they are to these young people, that God, you may go ahead and reveal yourself in a mighty way, in a mighty presence, and just have them be strong. And when it gets difficult, have them lean on you. And God, I just thank you for their commitment. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. So anybody else need to pray for while I'm here? I'll do it. We'll do that in a little bit. Okay? All right. We're going to watch this quick video. Doesn't that get you excited every week? You could be asleep and that thing is like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? It's cool. All right. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I got one great and a couple goods. That's okay. We'll take it. In this world, that's better than anything, correct? All right. So today what we're going to do, I'm going to read the scripture, not now, but I'm going to read it within the context of the sermon. We are on week 3. If you're joining with us today, we have been participating in a church-wide study that utilizes this book called Sun Stand Still, and it's a reference to Joshua chapter 10. Remember Joshua the first week? Joshua is in a battle he should not have been in, but he made an alliance with people he should not have made an alliance with, and they were headed down, and he needed to fight for them, and the sun was going down. They were headed to the woods, and he said, if the sun went down, there's no way that he could defeat them. So he went, sun, stand still. He just prayed, God, sun, stand still. And the sun stayed still, and he found all his enemies, and God helped out with some large hailstones and other kinds of things like that. But that's been the premise. And what we've been talking about these last couple weeks has been to have the first week was a new way to pray. That instead of saying, God, we pray for this if it's your will, that we pray these sun, stand still prayers, these prayer for the impossible, just recognizing that even though the prayer may seem and the situation may seem impossible, we serve a very possible God who can do anything, right? And so that's where we've been. Last week we talked about having audacious faith in, do you remember? The little song goes with it. Audacious faith in Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. Remember? And we talked about God as a provider. And we talked about a guy named Abraham, and he was getting ready to sacrifice his son Isaac, and God provided, and he trusted that. So today we're just going to get into a little bit different here, and I'm going to the theme of today is why bother. Look at the person next to you and say, why bother? That you know, I bet you guys could fill the end of that with a lot, right? Why bother?
Why bother? What are some things that you, right now, I say, why bother? You answer. Why bother? Oh, you follow the last part. You fill in the rest. I'm going to say, why bother? You fill in the last part. Why bother? What? Saving, trying to save money. Why bother? Huh? Why bother mowing the grass? Hey, I like that one. Why bother what? Going to church. Okay, why bother what? Cleaning. Yeah, there you go. Why bother? Guiding children. There you go. Why bother going back to school? Right? Why bother teaching? Why bother? Huh? Why bother worrying? Okay. I thought you said something about Joe. Why bother trying to fix Joe, right? Gosh, Joe, you know how long? I've known you for about 20 years now. That's crazy. We were about 3, I think, at the time, right? Right. You know what? You know, today I really want to get to some more of the core. And I got to tell you, in some of my side discussions in with several of you who are in the small groups, and there's still room for the small groups, right? We still got some books. We can get stuff to you. It's a great to just connect with people. Isn't it great to just talk, connect with people? And one of the cool things I'm hearing is that God has given some people some of that page 23 vision we talked about the first week, about how God is just giving you visions of the impossible. That there's only one thing way it can happen is in and through God. And that's been exciting. Some really, really cool things people have shared with me. And I want to tell you, I believe, remember when I started this series, I said I believe that we're in one of these things that I call a shift. And in the history of our church for the last 6+ years, I've seen God do shifts. And each time, there is some rough points, but then when we get to another point, God is moving in an incredible way. And here's what I want to tell you. In the visions that God is sharing with people, and the things that are happening, don't take that for granted. Because there are many areas that God that people don't feel God is moving in their lives. And I really hear how God is moving and challenging people here today. But I do want to tell you something. With any time where there's a momentum moving toward God, that there is this power that God is beginning to reveal, you can expect opposition. Anytime God is leading in an area, get ready for some opposition. Whenever God begins to seek, when you begin to seek God out, when he begins to challenge you, and when you reach a new level in your faith, the enemy wants to sabotage it. And so today, what I want to do is I want to help identify a couple of those areas that the enemy, Satan, tries to sabotage your vision that God has called, and suggest a couple of ways where you can have sun standstill prayers and page 23 visions where that seem impossible, but that God wants to make happen and will happen, and as he becomes Jehovah Jireh, our provider, if we trust him and don't get caught up in the why bothers of life, but we keep going on. So if you have your Bibles with you, if not, you can look up here on the screen. If so, you may have one of these great little apps that is a Bible, and I have one here that I'm going to be reading from, and I'll be reading from some areas. I've also printed this in your bulletin, so please feel free to join. Now, we are going to be reading from Mark chapter 5, verses 35 through 43, but I want to journey back a little bit to verse 21. And that won't be on the screen. It's only for those of you who have the app or your Bible. It won't be in the bulletin. But I want to give you some background history. If you've been around a church for a while, you have probably heard this story and this account about a man named Jairus. Anybody ever heard of him? And he has an issue. He is a synagogue ruler. We can see in verse 21 that Jesus crossed over to the other side of the lake, and a large crowd gathered around him when he was by a lake. Then one of the people named Jairus, who was a synagogue ruler, so he was a very important man. He needed a miracle from Jesus. What was his miracle? He came and he fell at Jesus' feet, and here's his miracle in verse 23. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come, put your hand on her so that she will be healed and live." Now, I don't know about you, but that seems like a pretty big need. And he needs it, and he needs it right away. Now, what's really cool is Jesus, it's one verse in verse 24 says, "So Jesus went with him." Here you have this crowd of people. This crowd of people all over the place wanting something from Jesus. This one guy comes, falls at Jesus' feet and says, "I have a need. My daughter's dying. And he didn't say, what do you need him to do? He just said, she's dying, I need you. And in this all this crowd, so here's what I want you to see in this. In a large crowd, don't think Jesus doesn't see you. Don't think that you aren't important to Jesus in the crowd. He saw this man and went with him. So everything seems to be going pretty well right now. He's in need, he's headed. And then, so verse 24, so Jesus went with him, large crowd followed and pressed in around him. Then we have this situation. There's this woman who has an issue of bleeding. She's had it for 12 years. Interestingly enough, the woman has had this bleeding issue for 12 years. Guess what? The little girl is how old? 12. So they both have these situations at the same time. This woman who shouldn't have been in the crowd because of being unclean by the society crawls down around, reaches out, believes that she touches the hem of Jesus' garment, she'll be healed. Jesus has all these people pushing in around her. All of a sudden he says, whoa, wait a second, stop. Now you are Jairus. You need your daughter healed. Jesus is coming. You're like, I'm excited. We got to get there. We got to get there. We got to get there. And then all of a sudden, this woman who's had this bleeding issue reaches out, touches Jesus, healing. She's healed. Jesus stops everything and starts dealing with her. He is en route for his healing and his miracle, and somebody interrupts it. Now, I got to say, her need wasn't as big as his. Her need wasn't terminal. Her need was a situation that was bad for her. It kept her out of society. It kept all kinds of issues that were there. But her need was not terminal. We have her need for 12 years, and that's a bad thing. I don't want to minimize that. But we have a little girl who has only lived for 12 years who is dying. And if I'm ranking needs, I'm ranking this little girl and what Jairus needs. Excuse me. So as we're sitting here, Jairus, I'm surprised there's not a verse that Jairus doesn't say, thank you, dearest. I'm surprised Jairus isn't saying, lady, let's deal with that later. I've got a big need. Go ahead and take this. Now, let me ask you, have you ever had a situation, cool, refreshing water. At least that's what I'll tell you is in there. Okay. But have you ever had a situation in life where you feel like you're in route and God is leading you to an area where you are going to get the healing, the miracle that you need, whatever it may be. And somebody butts in line and seems to get it ahead of you. Some kind of miraculous thing. Like you may have been, it may be something simplistic, like you may have said, you know, God opened a job opportunity for you and you feel like, oh my gosh, so-and-so left, I'm obviously there. I know God wants me to have this. And the person's talking to you and then all of a sudden, hey, we found this person who used to be with us, bam, and they plop him right in there and you're like, what happened? Now, I don't know about you, but it's kind of interesting how we struggle. You may be saying, you know, gosh, everybody has a job but me. Or you may say, everybody has a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or wife but me. And I'm alone. Come on, God, I thought this relationship was going to be the one that was going to be the marriage and the et cetera. And that didn't happen. And you're wondering what's going on here. And you feel like you're missing out on a miracle. And you begin to say, God, why me? What about me? Where am I? Well, Jairus must feel the same way. Here he is on the way to get his healing for his daughter. He had hope where there was hopelessness. And this woman cuts in line. Now, that's one of the things that just, you know, I have little pet peeves. There's some things in life that don't bother me, but there's some things that really bug me, like people butting in line. I don't care where you are. How many of you like when people butt in line? Anybody? How many of you like to butt in line? Okay. So, you know, if you've ever, like, had your family in a place and you, like, park somewhere, anybody ever done this? And then you go to join them, everybody gives you, like, dagger eyes. Have you noticed that? Like, they better have a family up there. If not, I'm taking them out. But, you know, I mean, sometimes you'll just be standing somewhere and somebody will be, like, particularly those areas where people feed in. You know what I mean? Like people are feeding into an area, and you're like, if you're like me, you're like doing a mathematical calculation of how you're going to elbow them out of the way. You know, you're like kind of going, you make yourself wider. You know, anybody ever done that? And that kind of drives me nuts though when other people do that. But anyway, when you butt in line, if somebody butts in line, you want to have some fun today? Go to store afterwards because I know you all do. Or a restaurant, and then butt in front of somebody and watch evil come from the ounce of their being. Now, I don't challenge you to do that, but you know exactly what would happen. If somebody cut in line on you, you would flip out. Or, dare I say, if someone cuts me off on the road or the interstate, oh, I hit a nerve, didn't I? You lose all faith, don't you, in Jesus? You know, all these unholy things are popping up in your mind and maybe even in your mouth, and you're glad the radio's up loud enough. You don't think anybody can see you, and you're like, yeah, because somebody's cut you off. There's something about that just bothers us. That bothers us to the core. And so I'm sure Jairus, whose situation's a lot more than me buying whatever I need to buy at the store or me riding from one place to another, he's got to get Jesus to his daughter, and somebody butts in line and stops the process. He's like, come on. I'd be like, Jesus, come on. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Leave her. She'll be here when we get back. My daughter may not be. And so so he's not too happy. So that brings us up to where I want to share today. And we are in verse 35 of chapter 5. And it says, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Now here's what's interesting about this. Jesus had just dealt with that situation with a woman. He said, go, daughter, you're healed. Enjoy. Immediately after her healing's done, Jairus is probably excited, like, let's go. And people from his house meet him and say this simple thing. Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? And that's what I want to deal with today. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let any of them follow him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. Not a good thing to do at Jesus, by the way. Don't laugh at Jesus. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha cum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished, and he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. I just pray that God's going to just enrich his word to us today as we hear this. And we're going to talk about the topic, why bother? Because what I wanted to share with you, and what I believe is the theme of this whole entire series, one of the main themes is all things are possible to those who believe that God can do anything. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord God, just the remainder of this time, just empty out our minds, empty out our hearts, empty out our hurt, and let us just not focus on the why bother areas that draw us back from your vision, but empower us and strengthen us by the power of your Holy Spirit with the thought of anything is possible with my God. And God, just be with us and guide us the rest of this time. In your name we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So why bother? Why bother? You guys gave me a good list of things why bother. But I want to share with you some of the things that when we begin to have bold promises from God, that we begin to immediately have the enemy that knocks on us and says this. So says, why bother? So here's what I want to share. When you believe God's promises, and if you have your bulletin, please, you can fill those through. When you believe God's promises, the enemy will play with your sentiment immediately. When you believe God's promises, how many of you, I would say, there are many of you, that you're at a small group, you're at the sun standstill group, you're hearing this incredible vision. God is moving a passionate thing through your life. He's telling you to step out in a way you never have before. You're feeling this passion by God. He's ministering to you in a way, and you're saying, there's no way, God, I could ever do that. This has to be from God. You're excited because Joshua said, sun stand still. We have Abraham who said, hey, God will provide. And you're saying God will provide. But as soon as you get home, on the table are the bills that you can't pay. As soon as you get home, you start to share your vision with some of your friends and your family and are saying, how in the world? That's impossible for you today. And you start to begin to say different things. Then you run into an old friend who was with you when you ran around the town, and they remind you of who you were. And you say, well, God, I can't step out for you. And so what begins to happen? Immediately when you get the sun stand still vision and you begin to have the page 23 vision for your life, you have the enemy saying to you, why bother? Am I right? Like sometimes at church, you just feel like, woo, this is God's move and I'm ready to, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, you can't do that because you got, you're like, yeah, why bother? Why bother? And so you end up with these situations. You have tasks that need to be done just in simple life. Does anybody ever get overwhelmed in life? Like there's just stuff. It may be not big things, but it's little things that build up and you're just overwhelmed. And you're so busy burning the candle at both ends in the middle and you're like, why bother? Or you may have a situation where you have too many responsibilities and you say, well, why bother? How many mothers have laundry that is in baskets or laying on the ground and you're like, why bother? Can't we just like throw the clothes away? Why bother? Or how many of you, I heard somebody say it earlier, clean. How many of you look at your house and you go, I should clean this. And you go, they're just going to mess it up again. Why bother? Anybody? Or you say, I should really clean up those dishes before I go to bed so I don't have it in the morning. And you're like, oh, but then somebody's going to get up and eat something. Why bother? Some of us are even crazy enough that we're riding down the road and it's on E. I don't even have to finish the rest of that, do I? And we're like, I got to get out of the car. Why bother? And we live in this why bother situation. Or some of us, I remember one of the biggest things for me most of my life was, at least most of my adult life, was that I knew I was out of shape. And I just said, why bother? You know, if I start, it's not going to matter. I would even use good things to make it happen. I got a wife who loves me. I just give her more of me to love. Why bother? Or I'd use the theological thing, and I tell people, if I'm just gaining weight, it's just God building a wing on the temple of the Holy Spirit. Right? Why bother? Until I realized I started having back issues that were not good. And until I realized that I had to labor more to do things, and I had to realize that I just didn't feel well. When I really got down to it, that I had a neck in my early 30s that I couldn't move past here. And I started to say, I kept saying, why bother? But there was this voice saying, Jack, you know, hey, you should need to bother. And I had a friend of mine who jacked me up one day when I was having, we thought I was having a heart attack. It was a touch of pneumonia. And I was just pushing it off. And a friend of mine said, Jack, don't you want to be around for your children's graduation? Don't you want to be around for your grandkids? I said, you got to do something, you know? And I started saying, you know, and I had to fight off the why bother. You know, every day when I go to the gym, I have to fight why bother. Because I'm like, well, I've lost enough. I'm in decent enough shape. There's chocolate cake. Right? I like ice cream. Why bother making that brown rice stuff? I'll just eat this. You know, and it's just a part of how we exist in life. Have you ever felt that way? Why bother? It may be in your spiritual disciplines. You may get up in the morning and you may say, oh, I got so much to do today. I got, you know, why bother reading my Bible today? Why bother? Or why bother praying? You may have prayed for someone's healing. You may have been praying for someone and you prayed year after year after year and you haven't seen it getting any better. You may have prayed for a situation yourself and it's not getting any better and you just say, why bother even praying? I'm getting no results. Or in your marriage, you may say, why bother? Why don't I just dump her or him and move on? Why bother raising kids who can change the world and instilling in them that they can do anything? Because I've messed up so much already as a parent. So why bother even trying to correct what I have? I got to tell you, many of you today have a victory. You got out of bed and got to church. That's a victory in today's world. You are better than 70 to 80% of the population now. That's a victory that you got out of bed and got to church and wanted to join with people. You could have said, why bother? You could have got up, started to get the kids ready, and they had this big fight. Or you could have had a major fight with your spouse, and you wanna punch them. You want to send them to Jesus real quick. But you come to church, and you're like, I got to put down the smile. Oh, how are you? Everything's great. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, praise the Lord. Oh, you guys, and somebody would inevitably say, you guys are the perfect couple. You look great together. And you're like, yeah, praise the Lord, right? Right? Why bother? Why bother going to work? No one appreciates what I do. Why bother with my finances? I'm already in such a hole anyway, I can't possibly get out. See, the enemy wants to nail us and wants to give us so many things. Because what I believe, and this is number two on there, what I believe is there's so many dreams, so many of these page 23 visions die at the neck. They die at the neck because of the why bother mentality. We start to have these dreams and God gives us visions and we say, why bother? You know, this church came about through a lot of my why bothers and God's page 23 vision. Why bother, Jack? You have a stable job. People like you. You're good. You're headed in a good career path with the United Methodist Church. You're rolling along. Everything's good. Why bother stopping all that, making all those people there not like you, and joining and doing something that you may have that's a pipe dream? Why bother? And you start to hear some of that stuff. Some of you may be here or maybe watching online that you're so far from God and you're saying, why even bother giving my life to Christ? I am such a miserable mess as it is. Why bother with any of this? But when the voice of why bother comes to you and speaks to you, when you look at these impossible and hopeless situations, that everything's a mess, God wants to do a sudden standstill in your life. He wants to cause it to stand still. You know, it doesn't get any worse in my mind than the situation Jairus is dealing with. He's hopeless and helpless. If you've ever had a child and you can't do anything to make it better, you are helpless. But if your child is on her deathbed and you can't do anything, I have talked to so many people over the years, I personally cannot think of anything that is that helpless and hopeless and painful in my life as a father of five children. I would give my life for my kids. And Jairus is too. And he's on the way, and this woman interrupts it in the midst of it. It was interrupted. His miracle was never finished, and he feels empty. And you know what? There are a lot of you here today, and a lot who are watching online, that God has inspired you towards something, and you want to believe, but your situation has gotten worse in the midst of it. Have you ever been part of a situation where you felt it got worse before it got better? You know, I've shared with you, when I was planning on starting this church, I felt God telling me, and some of the closest people in my life were some of the main people saying, why bother? I had one person who was involved in the church that I was at down in Lewis, Delaware, who met with me and took me out to lunch and said, why are you doing such a crazy thing? You have a good way to go, and you could have a long career in here. Why are you doing something this dumb? They actually said to me things like this. What if you fail? And by the way, do you know that 9 out of 10 churches fail within the first 3 years? I had felt a passion to do this for God, but in the midst, some people who were closest to me were giving me facts that were starting to make me scared and believe, why bother? You see, the enemy is going to plant a why bother in the midst of your it's possible. Why bother starting another church in Cecil County? Good Lord, they have enough of them and they're not full. I want to be real for a moment because I still have why bother moments in my life right now. Sometimes as a pastor, and when it's time to preach, you have times, particularly this time of year that we call summer. You're tired. You have to leave family gatherings early to prepare and be up late to make sure everything's good. And you say sometimes, you know, God, why bother? You know, why don't we just do online church all during the summer and I can do it from my computer? You know, I can even take the app with me and we can go, look, here we go. We could even have the praise team play one time during the week and we put it up. Wouldn't that be cool, God? We could do that and I could sleep in a little bit. Besides, God, they ain't going to listen to 80% of the stuff I say anyway. They ain't going to do it, right? You guys got too many grins on your face when I said that. You know, you sit there and say, oh, man, he's going to give this forgiving thing again. I am not forgiving that sucker, no matter what he says. Praise God. Or tithing, don't you dare talk about that money anymore. Sometimes I feel, and I'll say with God, God, I've said that before. I've said it a billion times. But you know, I want to share something with you. The voices, you know, the people will discourage you at times, but the voices, this is number three, the voices that discourage you the most in your audacious faith efforts are those within you. They're the biggest ones. The ones that were within you are the ones that are the biggest struggle. You notice that when we see here, Jairus is waiting, Jesus has healed the woman, he's ready to go, and people from his own house come in. It wasn't his enemies saying, ah, she died. No, it was people from within his own house that said, "Leave him, why bother him? She's gone. Why bother?" People will discourage you, but the loudest voice of doubt is always in your own head. Always in your own head. You know, I've met people before that they've stopped in a pattern of doing something for God, and I say, well, you know, what happened? Well, you know, they said it wouldn't happen this, and they said, and they told me that this, and when you start digging and find out who they are, it's really what's going on in here that brought doubt, and the strongest enemy is in me. There's so many like Jairus who have a need in life, who need God to do it in a miraculous way, but that inner voice keeps telling them, why bother? Why bother? So what do we do when we have those why bother voices? Right? Don't you want to know what to do? How many want to know what to do? And I'm going to tell you what Jesus did. So it's got to be right. So number one, here we go. Verse 36 says, ignoring what they said. Hey, here you go. Here's your new life verse. Put it on your dashboard. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your computer. Put it on your little email signature. So if anybody sends you anything nasty, you can go, boom, ignoring what they said. Ignoring what they said. Look at somebody and say, ignore them. Ignore them. That sounds so much easier. But the first thing is to ignore when people try to get you off of what God's vision for your life is. You have to ignore. This church exists because I had to ignore some of the people that were closest to me in life. I had to ignore them. I think that's why Jesus only took with him Peter, James, and John, because he knew that they were going to do whatever he said. Some of the other ones would have been like, Lord, why are we going back? She's dead. She's asleep. She's dead. No, be careful of the ones who you, the voices that you listen to in life. Ignore what they said. Now, for everybody else here, don't take this in context, out of context. If you're dating somebody that's really, really bad for you, don't say, I heard the pastor say, ignore what you said, Mom, sorry. Don't take that out of context. If you say, I'm not going to talk to my wife or my husband, no, I'm not going to, because I'm just going to ignore them. Because that's what the pastor said on Sunday, ignore what he said. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, ignore those things that keep you off of what God is calling you to do. That's what you need to do. Jesus ignored them. Or as it was told in the 90s, talked it a hand. Because the ears ain't listening, right? Talk to the hand. How many of you were watching Jerry Springer? You can repent later, okay? But some of you may have watched that, and that was big. Talk to the hand, the old Oprah days. Talk to the hand. All those, talk to the hand, because the ears don't listen. I remember then you talk to kids, and they'd be like, talk to the hand. I was like, you're listening to me. You ever had somebody do that to you? How many of you love when somebody does that to you? Do you love when that's done? No, talk to them. That's so rude. But guess what? We need to be rude to the enemy. Anybody wait? We need to be rude to the enemy because he's keeping us from the vision that God has called us to. And if we don't accomplish the vision that God has called us to, it ain't going to happen. God called me to plant this church. And guess what? It wouldn't have been planted if I didn't listen to him. And there were some times where it got worse. There's some times where I still say, why bother, God? But guess what? He tells me, because here's the vision that we have. So ignore it. That's the first thing. Next thing is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There's so many things that we hear that make us afraid in life by not trusting God. This little girl has died. Can you imagine? He just heard that. Every ounce of his being is afraid. And the third thing is, just believe. He says, don't be afraid. Just believe. Now stop for a second. Sometimes the voice of doubt will take the truth and spin it. Satan's been doing this from the early days. He takes a truth, takes a fact and spins it around to deny the truth of what God says. I have a verse of that right up on the top. Did God really say? Spin, doctor. And it happens all the time in our lives. Like, for instance, and what we need to do is we need to look at the facts, but recognize that it's not the truth in the God that we serve. Because when we look at this, the fact may be your child is strung out on drugs. But the truth is, you have a God that can reach them no matter what gutter they're in. Amen. The fact may be that your money is at an all-time low. That's the fact. Yeah. The truth is, we serve a God who is Jehovah Jireh, who can provide. Yeah. You with me? Amen. The fact is, your marriage may be crap. But the truth is, we serve a God who is greater than all that stuff and can bring stronger whatever happens. The facts are that you may have gotten the worst news from the doctor, but the truth is, we have a healer. His name is Jesus. Amen. And that's where we need to get to in our lives. Jesus ignores the fact. Guess what? I got a secret for you. She's dead. She's not asleep. But Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew that he was the way, the truth, and the life. Actually, I find this a little bit insensitive from Jesus. He's going with this guy. He stops. He's interrupted a miracle. All of a sudden, they tell him he's dead. And Jesus' first response is, oh, I'm sorry. Just hold on a second. Let me tell you something. He says, hey, don't be afraid. Just believe. That's pretty crass. Think about it. No greater traumatic event in this man's life than he's just lost his daughter. And the way Jesus comforts her is saying, don't worry about it. She's asleep. Just believe. It's okay, just believe. Have you ever had a situation where you're sick and you have these super churchalized people? I don't know if that's a word, but I just invented it. That if you're going through a struggle in your life and they say, well, you just need to have a little bit more faith. I've been on my knees, I've been praying, and it still happened. You say, no, just don't worry about it, believe. You're like, but I'm in the midst of a situation, I'm believing God, it's not changing. They say, oh, just believe more. And this is what it seems so cold to me from Jesus. It's annoying. They say, just trust God more. And you're saying, but I'm hurting. I just trust God more. It's so cold and callous, except for one thing. It's not cold and callous because Jesus knew that he was going to give Jairus something that Jairus couldn't do on his own. Let me ask you a quick question here. Is there anybody, I just want you to be honest. Any person who like says, I'm really in need financially right now. And $50 would like make a huge difference in my life. Is there anybody who's here that would do that? Anybody? Ree, come here. Come here, Ree. Come here, Ree. Come on. That's all right. She's had some issues. So you may say, so the situation. So I wanna do something. And let's give Rhea a hand for coming up here, okay? So, come on. So you can stand right here. We'll get you on here, okay? So here's Rhea, and she says, man, I'm really in need. I'm really struggling. I just need something from God. And I say, it's okay. Just believe. How you feel? Is that good? It's okay. It's okay. No, it's okay. Just believe. Now, what if I said I have $50 here? What if I said I have $50 right there? And I said, oh, it's okay. Just believe. But what if I say, hey, it's okay. Good. It's okay. God provides. Does that change? Is it different? Because the first thing is, hey, it's okay. Just believe. That is a statement of comfort. But it's okay. It's okay. This is interjecting myself and changing the situation. And that's what Jesus does. And that's yours. Go. Oh, yes, you can. When we just tell people, anyway, Jesus is not, the thing why it's not crass now is because Jesus said, hey, I got to tell you something. He's not just saying, just believe and going away. He says, just believe and he's going to do something. What is he going to do? Everybody okay? Okay, so he gets there. He gets to the area. He's not dealing with the facts, but he's dealing with the truth. Abraham laughed at God when he was 100 years old and he was going to have a kid. I would cry. At 44, I cry. But let me ask you a question. In verse 39-40, it says, they laughed at him. And I want to ask you this question. When is the last time someone has laughed at the vision God has given you? When is the last time someone has laughed at the vision that God has given you? Because if somebody's not laughing at the vision that God has given you, you may not have a vision, you may have a daydream. I think God needs to laugh. I think people need to laugh. And then when you get to verse 40, Jesus gets there, and there's a whole commotion of people wailing, and Jesus says, oh, hey, everybody, what's the deal? She's not dead. She's asleep. And they all started to laugh at them. And look at what he did. Here's what number 4 does. You ready for this one? This is your life verse number 2. He put them out. He put them out. Get out. Get out. What is it in your life, or who is it that is keeping you from the promises of God? Is it your insecurities? Is it your fears? Is it your regrets? Is it negative people? Guess what? Here's the rule of thumb for Jesus. Put them out of your life. Put them out completely. Audacious faith lives and grows when you put out the doubts. Starts here and it flows out. We need to focus on God's promises, not others. Because guess what? The Bible is a storybook of those who could have said, why bother? But chose to believe. Abraham, why bother? He's old. He's 100 years old. But guess what? He laughed, but then he put on Marvin Gaye or something and knew he and his wife were going to have a kid. He trusted the promise of God. Or Joseph. Joseph was a slave for 13 years, beaten up and given into slavery by his brothers because he had a vision that he was going to lead them and he was going to save the nations. And 13 years in prison as a slave would tend to challenge that vision. But he believed and he held on to it and he remembered that God would raise him up, and he did. Moses could have said, why bother? I'm 80 years old. He could have said, why bother after the 9 plagues didn't cause Pharaoh to change his heart? But he trusted in Exodus 3 when God told him that you will lead my people out of Egypt into a land flowing with milk and honey, the land that I have promised you. Joshua, there's a good book about that, right? Joshua in chapter 10 could have said, why bother? They're taking off in the woods and the sun's going down. But no, he said, sun, stand still. And God allowed him. He said, I knew none of my enemies will stand with the help of my God. Daniel could have said, why bother when they made a decree that anybody who bowed or prayed to God or fasted or did any of that stuff would be put to death? And Daniel said, no, I'm going to remain faithful to my God because I know if I stand up for him, he will stand up for me. The Apostle Paul could have said, why bother when he was flogged, beaten, jailed, shipwrecked, forgotten, and starved? But he remembered to live for Christ, is for Christ, to die is to gain. Jesus could have said, why bother when he came to earth, when he was beaten, when he was spit upon, when he was nailed to a cross, and when they stretched his arms out and he was nailed to that cross and he died, he remembered that 3 days later he was going to kick that stone out of the way and come out and say, I am alive forevermore and I hold the keys of hell and death. So why bother? Why bother in life? Because I want to borrow from the book of First Journey, which says, don't stop believing. But I want to change it. Don't hold on to the feeling and let the feelings go and hold on to the promise of God. Hold on to the promise of God and the vision that he's given you. He wants to do a new anointing in your life. And as the praise team's coming up today, I want to share this with you. Why bother? Because a vision can die if you don't answer it. Why bother? Because somebody is dependent on you answering the page 23 vision that God has called you to. Why bother? Because platitudes of just believe, it's okay, don't fit in when you follow through the vision and say, I serve a God, his name is Jehovah Jireh, and he is my provider. Amen? All right, I'd like you to stand right now.
Hey, Gary. Good. Tap Thomas on the shoulder up there.
I just ask that you bow your heads. Lord God, so many times in our lives, probably even sitting here right now, God, you've given us a vision and right on the next, on one shoulder where it's like, yeah, God, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And then we have the voice next to us. But you can't do that because you've got this, because you've got that struggles. You can't. Your marriage can't work out because you know how bad it is. And God, in that, we're in that why bother trusting God situation. And God, I just pray that right now we cause the sun to stand still through your name in our life so that the impossible can be done. Because just as in Joshua and just in this story with this little girl, we know that it was an impossible situation that everybody couldn't guess that they were done by their own strength. They had to know that it was a God. It was a God of healing and restoration. You know, God, you let Lazarus die because people knew you were a healer. Mary and Martha said, if you had just been here, he would have been made well because they knew he was a healer. But Lord, when he died, you were able to reveal that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Somebody here has an area in their life where they're feeling dead. And they know that you're a healer, but they feel like it's too far gone that they need to know that you are the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life. And so if you're that person right now that you just need to know the truth of the promise of Jesus Christ, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, no matter what is going on in your situation, no matter what you're hearing why bother, do if you just say, God, I'm hearing why bother, but I need to know that you are the way, the truth, and life, just kind of raise your hand where you are. Where you are right there. And if you're somebody else who is saying, why bother even this church thing? Why even bother with Jesus? Because you recognize that in your life there's something missing. You feel this void. You tried to fill it with all kinds of things in life, relationships. But everything fails in comparison to the only thing. That's Jesus. He loves you. He gave his life up for you. He rose again to save you. Show you that he is the Redeemer and the Savior of the world. And right now, I know there's people who are going back and forth through that. They're going back and forth through, why bother? And I need something. Just let Jesus touch you. Just let him wrap his arms around you. Let him meet your needs. I'm not going to just say, just believe. I'm going to say, believe and let God do what he does in your life. For everybody else here, God, just help us in our journey. Help us to remain true to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I'm going to ask that our Stephen ministers come forward and be ready to pray with you. And just, I want you to just get still in the presence of God during this time and let him minister to you in this time. Your love never fails, it never gives up. Isn't it cool, like, when God does something really, really cool in your life? Anybody? Okay. I just think it's really cool. And just because we were talking like just before today, and we were like kind of like, why are we singing that last song, right? We're talking about this. Why are we singing that last song? It's just perfect how God makes it work. Just knowing that no matter what vision you have, you may have a lot of bothers, but his love never fails. He never gives up. Never runs out on you, and that vision God has given you. I just believe God was just telling me that there are people, there's some who are watching online who just have a vision for God, and God just wants you to get back to him, and the vision will come to fruition. Just get back to him. So that's for somebody, maybe somebody this week, I don't know. I hope you just have an awesome week. I do want to show one thing, Melinda. We didn't show the one thing. We have a star in our congregation right there. And Dot was in the Guardian today, this past week, 2 weeks ago, I think, so it was great. I mean, we didn't get a chance to say that. It's always great when we see people from Haven making an impact in life. And so Dot, we'll line up for autographs afterwards, okay? But then through the rest of this week, those of you who are going through Sun Stand Still, and if you want to buy a book, you can't connect to a group. We understand that. We got some of them as well. But I want to let you know, last week I was sharing about a decision that I was going through, and I was really struggling back and forth, and I still wasn't there. And I was reading chapter 8, and chapter 8 starts talking about God sometimes removing something from your life in order to accomplish his vision. And it was just clear to me at that moment. And so God answered what I was going through this study already, and I got to talk to some other people about how God is really pressing them and expanding them. So it's awesome. So next week, if you ever wanted to know what it is, next week the theme is Faith Is. Faith Is. So we're going to talk about that. All right? High five, knuckle punch, high five, hug, whatever, headbutt, I don't care. God bless you. If you see somebody, a new face, welcome them. Good job.